It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man? Hey, I got a review on us this weekend, a real-life review.
Excellent. Always good to see those. That's I guess that's how we're doing this weekend.
And yeah, you know, no, my dad says that we sound really good. No, he's sorry. You sound really good, and you sound grounded and down-to-earth. But the other guy, he's still an idiot.
Well, he wouldn't know. I would trust your dad's opinions.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody, of course, whether you follow, you know, that you can follow us on Twitter. The show, you have a website here, or pardon me, we have a Twitter feed. It's at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. And you can follow Aaron on Twitter, out there in the Twitterverse. Aaron is what, Aaron? What are you?
I am at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar Talk.
This is brilliant. I love all this. Remember, everybody, no matter how you find us, well, first off, thank you for finding us, all of our fans across the United States and around the world. Please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. We've got another wonderful week here, Aaron. We've had some good football in Wisconsin, and we've been very lucky, and we don't have a whole lot of else to go on with because...
No, it's, I was going to say, usually right now we'd be waiting through early season hockey, preseason basketball.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, we'll probably start getting some news about the preseason college basketball some point soon. But, man, I haven't seen what that's going to look like.
I haven't seen what the NBA is going to do yet either. So, because, I mean, they just got done.
They did. Yeah. Yeah. October is normally the beginning of the hockey season, beginning of the basketball season.
Hockey. Oh, they did cancel the Winter Classic up in Minneapolis. I saw that. That was pretty sad. The Wild versus, who are they going to play? The Hawks?
Probably Blackhawks. That's a good matchup.
At Target Field on New Year's Day. That's sad. They got to get that back up to Minnesota. But I saw that got canceled. So, and then Mark Parrish was talking about that. They're talking about the NHL season starting in a bubble. Oof. And how there's already a lot of players that are saying, if that happens, I'm not. you can keep the salary. I'm going to stay home. So I can't do this again.
Well, it's a very long time. If you're talking about a season, that's a very different thing than talking about, you know, doing a playoff. You know,
even starting a season is going to be difficult. I mean, because these guys just did it. Imagine all the guys from the Tampa Bay Lightning and... Who'd they play?
They played the Dallas Stars.
Stars, thank you. That was a joke on KFan, was that Mark Parrish had played for all four teams in the semifinals. So I was trying to think of which of Mark Parrish's teams were in the finals. But yeah, that's right. They beat the Stars. I mean, all those players, I mean, if you want to tell them that they have to turn around, come back and defend their title in January, not even 3 months later, and it's going to be, or December, January, it's 2-3 months later, and we don't know how long this bubble's going to last. I mean, man, If you make the money that they make, like especially some of the bigger name players that have some money in the bank, it'd be really hard to convince them to be like, hey, they could go, all right, well, I'm just going to forfeit all the money up until when I have to play back home here because I got $50 million in the bank and I don't need this. So
yeah, that's the other thing is like there are other leagues. None of them pay what the NHL does, but there are other leagues out there and, you know, just, they could go play elsewhere for less money, but for, you know, money.
Or, so, or how about every single Russian player?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like that. Well, and also, I mean, at certain points, not Russia necessarily or Sweden, but several other countries are actually have been playing more open sports. Of course, Europe is now also going into kind of their second big wave. So who knows when they're going to have things either, but, I think if nothing else, Aaron, we have successfully filled a very good vamp to start up our show before we get into our main talk here.
But at least it was important stuff too, you know? It's like we weren't, I mean, I know. Sorry, I got off on a tangent. I started the show on a tangent, John. I'm sorry.
I wanted to have this tangent, so I'm very happy to have it. Okay. Hoping eventually we will have little bits of Badger hockey to talk about, and then Badger basketball will be back, and that should be a very good team because they graduated one player who did not play very much. They brought back every starter and also their sixth man, you know, so it should be a good year for the Badger basketball team, men's team.
Right, and we don't have a player in the transfer protocol that's going to be unjustly held out of games for months on end.
That was also brought up this week is Cruikshank, who transferred from the Badgers to Rutgers, was allowed to play week 1.
Week 1.
Because, yep, of course, anybody who isn't Micah Potter gets to get a waiver and play right away.
But Micah Potter, because he came from Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah. The rules are different if you're coming into Wisconsin, apparently.
Clinton, yes.
All right. Well, everybody, let's kick everything off here and get into our main section of the show and the part that we lovingly call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
I want to give the main event a little extra juice that this week, apparently. talking on that. But the best part is we have a Packer victory. And I think the best part also on that is that we aptly named our podcast last week the Everybody Calm Down. Because that was exactly what needed to happen. Because everybody needed to calm down.
Yeah, and true story. And Tampa went out again this week and it dominated a pretty decent. The Raiders teams turned out to be pretty decent. Like up to this point, it would have been, they would have knocked out Drew Brees. Who's the other quarterback? Mahomes. They beat the Chiefs, and it would have been three of the top three of the top teams in the league right now. So Tampa went on and proved they're no slouch team. Yeah, last week was just a kick in the teeth, and this Packers team has been known to get blown out. So
I really do think the bye has a lot to do with it. More so than trying to say that Tom Brady is still that great. I mean, he's good. He's good, but he's not what beat the Packers last week. I mean, he had like 160 yards passing. He didn't play. No. I mean, he just didn't have the turnovers. He didn't have the turnovers.
That defensive line and those two linebackers that they got, man. Yeah. Yeah. So
here's the thing, too, if we're going to look at the Packers, because, the thing you'll say against this game is you'll say the Packers beat, they just beat up on a team they were supposed to beat, which they should beat this team, but the biggest thing is, they gave up 20 points, but, they shut them out in a half. They shut them out in a half. They only gave up 7 points through three quarters. The game was over at that point. The last, 13 points or whatever, those were all just garbage time. The game was over at that point.
It was good to see the Packers actually close it out like that, too, because it was one of those sneaky ones coming out of halftime when they were only up by two. And we're kicking off to start the second half, and you're like, oh, man, like we've seen this script before. I mean, every team has, but I mean, it's just that one where, now they're going to let them creep back into it. And, Houston's got enough offensive firepower and one of the best young quarterbacks who we discussed this spring as, would you trade Rodgers straight up for him right now? And I think we both said yes.
Yeah, he's pretty fantastic.
Maybe before that giant contract extension, but yes.
Well, he's already now, after playing 7 games, he has 2,095 yards, 15 touchdowns. I mean, he's playing very well. And they traded away his best receiver.
Right.
Who now leads the league in receiving.
Right. And so, but that all said, too, it was good to see that the Packers did what they were supposed to do. And they just hammered down and they got it done. Jamal, especially with all the players missing, Bakhtiari was missing. Savage was missing. Missed the biggest one right off the bat. Jones was missing. Bakhtiari. Jones and Bakhtiari off the offense right away. And then, some defensive players. And to see them overcome all that injury stuff and to just, metaphorically step on their throats, that was good and just get it done with. And you're right. The fourth quarter, which could have been a high excitement, nerve shaking, nerve rattling fourth quarter ended up just being, I barely watched most of it. I did the thing where I listened to Wayne and Larry because, what's going on the screen isn't really that exciting. So,
Here's the first thing I want to do. Because I have this down right in front of me here. The the picks that we made last week, we both picked the Packers to win. I thought it was going to be a close shootout because, like we talked about last week, the Texans have an offense. They scored 20 against the Chiefs, only 16 against the Ravens, but then 21 against the Steelers, who are very good, 23 against the Vikings in a loss. And then they scored 30 against the Jaguars, 36 against the Titans, who are very good in defense. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I thought 38-32. That was off by 12 points and then 3 points on the Packers score. Aaron, you picked 33-18.
Wow, how about that?
You are off by just 2 points on each team. That's pretty fantastic. So I wanted to make sure I said that.
Maybe I need to start doing this. Not that I was right the week before, the week before that, the week before that, and the week before that. But hey, you know.
Yeah, you nailed that one this week. I like to give the credit where credit is due on this one.
You know, I'm never actually gonna win that head on the nose because I'm gonna pick some goofy score like 33-18 every single week. So it's not gonna, you know.
Well, and here's the thing: when you look at this Texans team, they're not as bad as their record, but the record is the end of it. I mean, they lost to the Chiefs at the Chiefs, they lost to the Ravens, they lost at the Steelers. I mean, and then they lost to the Titans and the Packers. I mean, among those teams, there's. Well, the Titans have one loss, Packers have one loss, Chiefs and Ravens, all one-loss teams, and then an undefeated Steelers team. I mean, and the Titans' only loss is to the Steelers. So it's like, the only weird one is the Vikings. I mean, they crushed the Jaguars.
Right, and there was a weird one against the Vikings, too, which is still the Vikings' only win. I still don't get that one either, but I mean, that was also, what was the one, that was also the game that got Bill O'Brien fired. So at that point, he'd probably lost the locker room.
Yeah,
so I would like to say that's the only reason why the Vikings win a game this year is because the Texans lost the locker room. But I mean, they got arguably the best left tackle, arguably the second, third, fourth best quarterback in the league. Definitely the best, one of the best young talents in the league.
Yeah.
Traded away their best. I mean, they're a good team. It's just that they, dysfunction, cancer. I mean, that's like look at the Cowboys. How talented are the Cowboys? But McCarthy's seven games in has already lost that locker room.
Yeah, well, there's already weird talk out there.
I mean, nobody came to help up Jason Garrett after he got smoked.
Yeah,
nobody. One person came to help him up. Nobody stuck up for him because if Andy someone Dalton. Were to go after Rodgers head like that, Bakhtiari would have the guy up on his shoulders. And Za'Darius Smith would be doing the off the top rope, much like Legion of Doom with the what do they call that move?
I don't know.
The Doomsday device. Anyways, yes. Sorry.
His name is Andy Dalton. Yes.
Yeah.
You called him Jason Garrett, just so you know.
Did I really?
That's awesome.
They're both redheaded quarterbacks that weren't that good. So, I mean, it's not that far off.
I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, okay.
Somebody has to steal the souls in Dallas now that Jason Garrett's gone. So they probably...
Yeah, he's in New York now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
doing,
I mean,
doing
like...
great things out there.
Yeah, Watson still played a pretty decent game, I guess, in terms of overall stuff. I mean, he was 29 of 39, 309 yards passing, but most of it, again, late. He was sacked three times for a very mobile guy. He had a rating of 114.2, but his QBR, 69.5, because most of it was garbage time stuff.
The QBR, that fake stat that ESPN made up a while back that still don't get. Yes.
It's still, there's, I don't know, it's a weird, I'm not a big proponent of that specific stat. Right. Here's the other thing I'll say is like Rodgers and the offense did not run particularly well. It was not an efficiently run offense. Again, without our top running back, without our left tackle, still, I mean, St. Brown is still getting back into things. Lazard is still out. And we have Jamal Williams got 19 carries for 77 yards, a long of 13. Davante Adams had 196 yards receiving on 13 catches. He has a two-game stretch where he has like over 300 yards and 27 catches.
No, what was the stat that I saw today, and I can't pull it up fast enough, and it's too rare of a one. It was an Elias Spurs Pro stat. Only only three players in NFL history have had games with 13 catches, 150 plus yards, and two touchdowns in a season. And he's done it in three full games.
Jeez.
It's amazing. So, and four more points, four more yards, he would have had, God, he was already worth like 44 points in fantasy football. I mean, if he would have gotten four more yards, what is that if you have 200 yards, 13 receptions, and two touchdowns in a standard league? He would have been over 50, right?
I don't know. I was told there would be no math.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I let Yahoo do all that for me. Yes.
The biggest problem, though, you look at this, is like 196 yards, you know, for Devontae. There's not 100 more yards on this team. I mean, Williams has 37. Tunyon. Robert Tunyon. I'm going to go that
third
way.
Third junior.
You just got to go the whole way. If it's a ton, not a Rob, then it should be Robert Tunyon. Losing my mind. What I don't get is that they said it should, like Funyuns. I was like, or you could just use the word onion, like a word everybody uses. You could just say Tunyon, like onion.
Yeah.
You went with Funyuns. Right. But anyhow, 32 yards for Tunyon. Mercedes Lewis had one catch. Malik Taylor had two. And then Sternberger and Scantling had
zero.
Nothing. And Shepard had one target for nothing.
MVS is going to be gone, I think, next year. He had all of last year when, you know, we didn't have a second receiver and Allison got hurt. And this year, I mean, with all the opportunities, I mean, I don't know what's with him. I mean, St. Brown dropping a couple balls, I get it. He's never really played since
he wasn't drafted. Targeted in this game at all. St. MVS, Brown being
a, MVS had a St. Brown wasn't.
St. Brown wasn't targeted. MVS had four targets in this game. He didn't catch a single one of them. One of them wasn't so great. One or two of them weren't particularly great. Like I said, for whatever you say about, you know, Rodgers put up good numbers, he was not particularly sharp necessarily in this game. Missed a couple plays a little bit, but still, yeah, I mean, four targets. Valdes-Scantling should have caught two to three of them, but he has not really honed his craft in terms of the specifics of getting his hands to the ball in a meaningful way that will ensure that he can, you know, get the best chance to catch it. His body control is lacking.
Just look at it, John. Devontae Adams, 13 catches. He's the only wide receiver that... Oh, wait, Malik Taylor's technically a wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he had two catches. Two. Only other wide receiver to have two catches. Otherwise, Jace Sternberg, Big Bob, and Mercedes caught every other ball that wasn't caught by Jamal Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
some polarization.
Only one other receiver caught a pass, and that's Malik Taylor. Yeah, it's not great in that receiver room right now. And somebody should be angry, and that should be brought up. It will be brought up a lot, I'm sure. But yeah, it is a ridiculous kind of way of playing that just how they're not getting open. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has had every possible opportunity to be that guy, and we both loved him when he came into this league, especially since he drew the entire playbook by hand several times before he showed up. He's had every opportunity to do big things in this league. He started off very well last year. He actually had a very good start to the season last year and then didn't do anything after that. He's just, since about the midway point of last season, some point shortly after that Raiders game that he blew up on, it just hasn't been anything.
And that's the thing, too, is when it was him and St. Brown, and who is the other kid that was drafted actually before both of them?
Yeah, the guy out of Mizzou. And I'm forgetting his name right now, but yeah.
I mean, it was looking for a little bit there. Like, we hit.
Jamon Moore. That's what
I'm Jamon Moore. It looked like, I mean, just by the way, it looked like the Packers had hit the jackpot. Like, here's three guys we got mid-draft that are going to turn into three really good wide receivers. Much like many of the Packers wide receivers we've had in the past that come in the mid-rounds, you know. Donald Driver, of course, being the outlier of being late in the draft, but turning out pretty good. But, I mean, just like filler guys, like 2, 3, 4 guys, you know, it looked like it was going to be really good. And then they'd be behind Devontae. And it never turned out. And if St. Brown doesn't turn it around and MVS continues on his current rate of travel, yeah, they're all going to be out of the league by the end of this year.
Yeah. So, and it just, it's one of those things. I mean, people are definitely hoping that we could have walked away with several of the players on the Texans after looking at this team fall apart this year, like Kenny Stills or, you know, Randall Cobb. Either one of them would have been interesting. Cobb actually led the team in catches.
I'd take Will Fuller over either of them, but Kenny still has that massive concussion problem. Like, you don't know when the next one's going to be that'll end his career. So
yeah, I think the big part of that is we could afford him, I think, at this point.
Great point.
Yeah, everybody has.
he's like a Porsche that's blown its engine four times. Like, yeah, it's a Porsche, but you're gonna have to baby this thing along.
Who knows? I don't know.
Elon Porsche, I've got Porsche.
Yes.
Yes.
But the other thing is just, yeah, the big one everybody loves talking about. We'll just kill this now just for fun. But J.J. Watt, man, that would be incredible, and that's never going to happen.
No.
not at this point. He makes too much money.
You crushed my dreams during the pre-show. I was like, God damn it. And then it makes me really mad that they didn't draft T.J. Watt. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I would love. He's my man crush. I love J.J. Watt. I watched him live in college because, you know, I was there at the time. Mm. I saw all those games. The guy was just incredible. His motor is incredible. His love for his team and everything is incredible to watch. But yeah, the Packers can't afford to bring him on. Not on this team. No, it's just there's just no way. So that would be fun though. It would be super
How much more time is left on his current contract? He's got a pretty long contract right now, right? He isn't going to hit the free agent market anytime soon.
I don't think so. I mean, he really does like the Houston area, it seems. And, you know, now he's married and he lives down there. Does his wife play for the Chicago
team? No, she plays for Chicago. But
yeah, Chicago team, I was going to say.
But the owner absolutely loves him. Like, he is the face of that franchise. He is the biggest face that franchise has ever had. I mean,
I haven't been around that long, but yeah, he is.
David Carr was their first overall draft pick, and he just got pounded into submission. Yeah. Arian Foster was a pretty good running back, but he was 3 years.
And he was a good running weird, and he said a lot of weird stuff to people.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and eventually Deshaun Watson here, he's looking like he's going to be on the trajectory that he will be the eventual, you know, face of this franchise if he isn't already. But J.J. Watt has been the most consistent, longest lasting player that they've had there. He was in MVP talks as a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
For and he's a couple years.
The other thing, too, is like I think he embodies what people want to see in football players. Like, they love DeAndre Hopkins. They loved him there. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's one of the best receivers there is, maybe the best in football right now. But, I mean, like, he gets down to practice, he goes, and we all saw the HBO series on this, you know, the Hard Knocks. When he's done, he wants to go put on a lot of fancy clothes and go out. And you're like, okay, that's fun. Go ahead and do it. I mean, nobody cares that he does.
Right.
But then you watch that J.J. Watt, when practice is done, runs another practice for himself. And then stays and signs every autograph till everybody leaves. And you're like, oh, well, he's a whole sort of different thing, isn't he? Like, you know, I mean, and I don't begrudge players leaving when practice is over. I mean, that's their prerogative.
Lots of people leave when their job is done.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I'm not saying it to say anything bad about DeAndre Hopkins. I'm saying J.J. Watt's a different kind of animal. You know, like, he's a different thing. And sometimes, you know, like, that talk that you hear and you're like, man, he's just saying this stuff. No, man, he really is that guy.
No, Walter Payton Man of the Year stuff, you know.
Like, yeah, he gets to wear
Walter Payton was like that. That's why they call it that award, you know. It was beyond being the best at his position and being super hardworking. When he was done working and honing his craft, he spent the rest of his time
helping people.
Out there, yeah. You know, like. That's why they named it after Walter Payton. I couldn't figure out what that patch was on Drew Brees' shoulder, and I actually had to look it up. And that's what he gets to wear for.
JJ had it on too this week. I love that they do that now. That you can wear the patch for Man of the Year award, the Walter Payton Man of the Year award. You can wear that if you've won it. You can wear the patch then on your jersey. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I really would think that every single person that wins it would do that, you know, and especially in a league where, I mean, a league where there's been a lot of suspect players over the years. I mean, it's, I mean, I don't know if we don't hear about it as much anymore, or it's just not as prevalent as it was in the 90s and earlier, some of the criminality. But I mean, that's, I mean, he's an amazing, amazing player. And it's like I said, I'll sit here and trash Drew Brees and some other people all day long for what's on the field. But there's no denying that they're, if you win that kind of award, to be that good and to be that involved in your community, I mean, Drew Brees saved New Orleans. Let's just say it, like, because FEMA didn't.
They did not.
Yeah. No, they didn't. So,
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Packers. The Packers needed to put up points in this game because, like you said, we talked about here, the Texans have a very good offense. Oddly, the defense has not been that good. They have been, I think they marked it down like 29th against the run. I don't know what the DVOA is because they've definitely played like Baltimore and some, you know, Kansas City and stuff. So it's like, yeah. But I mean, like, this team still has Zach Cunningham. They still have J.J. Watt. They have Whitney Mercilus. They have Vernon Hargraves now too, who should have been better than what he is. But he's still a nice cornerback out there. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick for a reason. I'm looking through it, noticing Brandon Cooks had a tackle on the game too. That's pretty fun. But yeah, I mean,
could we get Mercilus?
Which is one of the greatest football names ever.
Second famous name. He played. Mercilus came from the Colts too, didn't he? Or has he always been with Houston?
I think he's always been with Houston. He was drafted, I believe, out of Illinois.
Okay, well, the Colts had the best name for a middle linebacker ever, and that was Angerer
out of Iowa.
Yeah, Angerer. Yeah. That's
Yeah, that was a great one too.
Yeah. But not, I mean, just like,
Angerer. But the thing I loved this week, actually, more than anything, is the Packers defense against this Texans offense. Like we said, this team has put up, other than the Ravens, whose defense is great. I mean, and they played the Steelers, who have a great defense too. I mean, they have scored 20-plus points in every game, and we held them to 20. I mean, every game except for Baltimore, which they scored 16. But, I mean, this is a team that can put up 30 on a lot of people. And they really, I mean, almost all their points came after it was over.
I don't have a sneeze button. This is a low-budget affair over here. Right. I couldn't hit the mute button fast enough.
So, I mean, other than having just that one game against, you know, great defense there, they played very, very well on offense. And the Packers stopped them, and they scored almost all their points in that last quarter. They scored 13 points in the fourth. Through three quarters, they scored one touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's just incredible that this defense went and did that. And they did it, you know, obviously missing Kirksey, playing Chris Barnes, who has been fantastic. Yep. Kamal Martin out there playing some football and playing very well. Those are two great pickups.
Kamal looked good, and I feel bad about this. I think both of us, well, you might have had a better view like the next week, but I think we both came out against that when they drafted him. Like, oh, come on, the kid from Minnesota, really? And then
I wasn't super happy with it because he's an outside edge guy through his time in Minnesota. Well, I mean, he played some middle, but he was initially an edge rusher, and I was like, he's a small edge rusher. What are we doing?
But he's a really tall linebacker. He looked good. He looked good yesterday. That's all I care about. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a really tall inside linebacker, that being said. Right. Raven Green looked very good. He was all over the field. Actually, he had 5 solo tackles, 8 total tackles to lead the team in total tackles.
He looked good at times, but Larry was bagging on him a couple times because he got either beat or something like that. But for the most part, he had a good game.
Yeah, Jair, again, just fantastic. Josh Jackson had a very nice game. I didn't see anything big happening around him. No major penalties this week. Nothing weird coming out.
I think Josh Jackson led the team in amount of plays.
Okay.
Number of plays, because he played 100% of the defensive snaps and special teams as well.
Okay.
So,
yeah, so Darius said
Doing good, that's what happens when you're doing good. Cam Newton did not play 100% of the last game that he was in.
No, he did not.
Because he wasn't playing well. Anyways,
we basically got the best game Preston Smith has played all year as well. I mean,
yeah, because we heard his name.
Right,
that's a start.
Yeah, so that definitely helped a lot. It was good to see some of that. We have learned that Ty Summers, I don't know why he's playing on this team. If you can put either of those other two guys out there, I don't know what he's here for. Ty Summers is just kind of filling space at this point.
I think he was the backup plan. The backup to the backup plan, and they didn't expect to get to the backup to the backup plan, and then there he was, you know. So because I mean, with Martin, I mean, any of these rookies that are, you know, especially not first round draft picks, you figure that, you know, they had to not put them too high on the depth chart. Like, we're not going to cut them because they're obviously rookies, but we can't just toss them out there. And I think because Ty's second year. Summers the second year, right?
Yeah, we picked him up last year for TCU, right?
Yeah, something like that. I was gonna say I thought we had him last year too. So like at least he knew the system, and then was kind of put out there against what was the game before?
The Packers game just last week.
Game before Tampa.
Well, before Tampa was a bye week, but then yeah.
thanks, John.
That was the Falcons game.
The Falcons game, yeah. Is that the one? Is that the one where Summers was kind of running around lost for a little bit there?
Anytime he's on the field, I feel he's running
around. No, that was against the Saints. That was against. Okay. Yeah. That was against the Saints when he got thrown out there, and he looked a little lost for most of the second half. But anyways, I digress as usual.
That's why you're here.
Yeah, but Martin's pretty good. I mean, it does say something to the defense too, because if you look at the stat sheet, like top to bottom for team stats, it doesn't look that different. It's not. And I mean, 379 for the Packers, total yards 365 for the Texans. Passing yards, Texans actually had three more. And yards per play, 6.2 to 5.7 for the Texans. First downs, 22 to 20. Time of possession, Texans actually had the ball more. Only one turnover in the whole game, and that was a fumble by the Texans.
At the end.
Penalties, 5 for 40 for the Packers, 6 for 55 for the Texans. I mean, that's a pretty even stat line. The bigger ones, the ones that kind of stick out, sacks allowed, Texans gave up three sacks and the fumble. But I mean, says something for the defense that in a game that was pretty evenly matched as far as yardage goes, that we were still able to outscore them by 15 points. So,
yeah. And the Packers gave up no sacks, and that's with, you know, the injuries that they've had too. So that's pretty fantastic. They have. Well, next week, Aaron, we're going to have a lot of fun, you and me, because this is going to be a Viking game next week.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be a noon game because nobody's watching the Vikings, so there's no ratings involved.
Oh my god, the fans are going to be squawking too, you know they are.
They're done. They're already trying to figure out when the NHL starts again. It's Minnesota, they're giving up. The Gophers lost. The Vikings are terrible. They're just going to go back. I mean, the Gophers lost badly. They got destroyed by Michigan.
On national television too, which I never like to see that.
I love to see it. They've been on game day twice, and they made a ring about it last time, and they've gotten destroyed both times. We can just put them on game day just every week from now until the end of time, as far as I'm concerned. Every home game, put them on game day and just let them fall apart. Just sink the boat. Right. But yeah, the Vikings are in full-on give up and go home mode, and it's a team built to they're a bunch of front runners for the most part, because I guarantee you, I mean, the minute they're losing, people seem to find ways to fight Kirk Cousins. You know, I mean,
right,
he's the sort of guy people are like, you're really grating when we're losing. We already saw last year, I mean, he was fighting with Thielen on the sidelines and all that sort of stuff. I mean, they don't have Diggs. If Diggs were still on this team, we would be reporting fires, like literal fires.
I wish Diggs was still on this team. They are lucky they traded him away.
He wouldn't tolerate any of this garbage because it's awful. They don't have that kind of play. They don't have enough of those type of people. I mean, Harrison Smith's maybe one of the few guys who's just a, you know, take charge, let's work harder, like, who cares, work harder type of guys on that team. And he's been snippy the last couple of weeks. So it'll be interesting to see the Packers. The Vikings are going to make some adjustments on defense. They just are. But the problem they're going to have is they don't have talent on defense anymore. I mean, they are right up against the Spielman It's one of the most overrated, and I will fight Badger Noonan every day on this one.
Yeah, I saw him say something about Spielman being a smart GM the other day, and I was like, what?
I still don't understand that. Spielman, he's been there like 8 years. They've made the playoffs 4 times in 8 years. They're 2-4 in those playoffs. you know, I was like, he's spent every dime he can find and is able to put together kind of an average type of team that gets to the playoffs half the time. That's just kind of any team. But we're convinced they're great because they spend all the way to the cap and they always go try to find a way to pay the money to big names. And it doesn't ever seem to work that great. And it's never consistent. They're never consistent.
And just, instead of getting a better offensive line for their running backs and quarterbacks, all they've done is go out and pay a quarterback who doesn't deserve to get paid as much as he's getting paid.
Right.
Too much. They've ignored their offensive line. They've paid certain members of their team way too much money. They sunk a ton of money into their running back now, which we've all learned and may actually help us keep Aaron Jones in the offseason, but we'll see about that. And it's just general mayhem. And it's how can you be? The way he makes his moves and the way he leaves his team out there, and the fact that there must be a good relationship between him and Zim, because otherwise Zim should be blasting him on a regular basis. Zim, when asked about bringing in Kirk Cousins a couple of years back, said, I don't know why we'd want to change the team because I want to build the team this way. He wants to be a defensive minded team, much like the Bears, who are still getting blown out right now.
I'm not even checking right now, but yeah.
Okay. Probably. But anyways, but that's the kind of team he wanted to be, win ugly kind of team, because that's how Zim is. I mean, that's where Zim comes from. And say what you will about Zim and say what you will about the Vikings, they've tried to create this high powered offense, and they brought in first it was Norv, and then it was Norv, and he left that was a very odd departure.
Kevin Stefanski really wanted Teddy Bridgewater to stay there as a starter, and they gave up on him.
Yep. And then who's doing just fine in Carolina now, by the way. Yep. Anyways, so I drafted him in the first round, you clowns. Anyways, and then they had, before Stefanski, they had somebody else too that they brought in for a while.
Right now they had Stefanski, but they also brought in Kubiak, who's still there. He's still there right now.
Yeah. Well, Stefanski seems to have figured it out in Cleveland.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well.
He's got a team 5-2 with the worst quarterback in the league.
So, I don't think he's the worst. He's
good. He's good against the Bengals. But I mean, and now they got Kubiak in there, who's a retread again, and they dumped all this money into certain offensive players. I mean, for a while there, like almost 1/5 of the team was tied up, or 1/4 of the team was tied up between the quarterback, 2 wide receivers, and a running back. Yeah, no, and that was before they paid. That was before they paid Delvin. I mean, that's how much money they had. That's why they had to get rid of Diggs. And so here they are rebuilding only 3 years after being in an NFC championship game.
Here's the thing is, I don't know if they're going to rebuild. I don't think they really think they have to rebuild. I think they think they're really close and just they've had bad luck this year.
Well, I hope they just keep doing that.
I know.
I just hope they keep doing that because they are going to be a 1-15 team.
Well, they're going to have a lot of things coming up here soon because, I mean, like, yeah, they had to trade Yannick Ngakoue because they couldn't re-sign him anyhow. That's the big thing. They're not selling their other parts yet because I don't think they're going to. I think they believe they're really close. And I'll borrow the line from Eddie Izzard because this is how I describe their defense, is stealing an Eddie Izzard line. For those of you who listen to him, he's fantastic. That defense that just watched it slowly collapse like a flan in a cupboard.
Yeah, thank you. You just went right there. That's what I was just going to say, like a fly caught in a cupboard.
I was like, it's just slowly done. I was like, what? Yeah, they had a great, great defense. People still think it's great. They lost 5 starters off that defense. If you count that NFL teams run 3 wide all the time at this point, you say you need 3 cornerbacks. They let their top 3 cornerbacks all walk this season. Top 3. I mean, like, you lose one, you're like, okay, we got to put in a rookie on the field. It's going to be okay. And they're like, we lost our top 3. No, it's going to be cool. We lost our one of our, you know, like our second best pass rusher, Griffin. He's with the Cowboys now because he can't pick teams. And he's probably going to get traded because the Cowboys are probably going to give up soon too. But then they also lost Linval Joseph, who's playing on one of, like, seriously, go look at the Chargers defensive front with with Bosa and Melvin and him there, it's like that defensive front is incredible.
And then check this out. So Danielle Hunter, who just opted to end his season and go have herniated disc, he has a herniated disc in his neck. He's going to go have surgery on it. Opted out for the rest of the year.
Season's over.
Rumor mill has it that he right now is the 20th highest paid defensive end in the league. Oof. And he wants his salary doubled next year.
And there's no money for that. They're already up against.
So the Vikings are going to have to trade him too.
They are over the cap for next year at this point. They just are.
Right. So they're going to lose Danielle Hunter. Kendricks is a nice middle linebacker. I wouldn't mind having him on the Packers, especially right now.
He's one of the top middle linebackers. I mean, I put him up against guys like, you know, Fred Warner and Roquan Smith. I'd probably take Roquan Smith over him, but not by a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, Kendricks is a great middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Harrison Smith's
he's better than anybody good. We have. Yeah. Harrison Smith is great.
Harrison Smith's a good, strong safety. That's all they have. Harrison Smith and Kendricks now at this point.
Yeah,
now especially with traded away Ngakoue, now that they traded away or that Danielle Hunter's out for the rest of the year, I can't name who's on their defensive line.
Their D tackles are not impressive. They've got Wilson in at one of the other linebacker spots. They had Barr, but he's gone for the year now too, or at least gone for a good period of the year now. It's going to be
some Vikings fans still think that Barr and Joseph are on the insides, and Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter are on the outside. If that was the case, then they'd be.
Yeah, I just don't think it's that great a defense.
They're not there.
I thought coming into this year that this was a hollowed out defense, and I've been proven very right on that. I said that preseason on us. We said that repeatedly. This Vikings team, I don't know why people think they were going to win the North. They're not good. They're the worst team. Like, they are going to lose to the Lions at some point this year. They just are.
Well, and the thing is too, is that the cornerbacks that they lost that were their starters anyways, two of them went to Cincinnati, who just got burnt by previously ripped on Baker Mayfield the other day. So
I just think the Packers win this just mostly like they did last time. I think the Packers, I mean, we don't have Lazard at this point yet, but it doesn't matter. There's going to be openings. They're going to find ways to scheme open tight ends on this. They're going to put in two and three guys there. We're going to find ways to throw. It sounds like Aaron Jones felt he was ready to go and probably could have been ready to go. But, of course, the Packers hold people out till they're actually 100%. And so if he's there, they're going to run around. If you take, I mean, seriously, you have removed the guy they traded for, plus at this point, three of their four defensive linemen from last year's team are gone with Danielle Hunter being injured. I don't know where the pass rush comes from. I mean, essentially it's going to come from Harrison Smith because they love to blitz him and they're going to have to blitz him, which will leave the middle of the field very open because no one else on that defensive backfield is any good. They just aren't. And so I just see the Packers winning this by two touchdowns or more. I don't see how the Vikings keep up with this. So Aaron, I think that my pick on this game though, I think that playing indoors, it went a little faster. It's going to be a little sloppier this time playing out on the grass, and it has recently snowed across most of Wisconsin at this point. I mean, I don't know how much that'll be there next week.
Yeah, it'll be dried up by then, but
it was 43-34 with the Vikings scoring a bunch of garbage points last time. I think it'll be something like 38-21 this time. I don't know. What do you think about this game, Aaron?
Well, you know, as much as I love ripping on the Vikings, and I love just pointing out other flaws and this, that, and the next thing. It looks like it's probably going to be about 44 and sunny on Sunday. So empty stadium. It won't be as quiet. You know, the elements won't be that bad. 44 is not. 43 is actually the optimal temperature for the human lungs to work with when taking oxygen in for aerobic activities. But anyways.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's why when me and Bonick ran that half marathon and it was like 42 degrees the whole time, it was great. Like, it was fantastic. Anyways, that said, it is a Vikings game. I'm not putting out of the realm of possibility that the Vikings beat the Packers.
I am.
I have to guard myself. I have to give the Vikings a 10% chance because weird stuff happens. That said, their defense, this is a team that's reeling right now. They don't have any locker room leadership. They have a high paid quarterback that obviously I think the players are turning against because he's not a strong leader either. That's the other thing too. You know, him and Rodgers' leadership skills are not unlike as much for, I mean, just for like strength, because Aaron can be withdrawn. He does like, but Rodgers has better play. That's the difference. Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks ever. So
he's not as vocally, like visibly just after people on the sidelines either. You know, like he broods and he'll yell once and twice on the field, you know, like, hey man, you got to make that cut or something. But I mean, like we have just watched Kirk Cousins just sit there and just have ridiculous beratements.
Which is funny that the Minnesota fans seem to be okay. Sort of used to be okay. Nothing's okay this year. They're nothing pretty okay with that. But they don't like Aaron Rodgers' passive aggressive.
Yeah, passive aggressive should be more the Minnesota style at this point. I mean, that is basically the definition of Minnesota nice. But yes, let's see where they're going with that one.
We're gonna toss this one up there. I'm not going to get too arrogant on this one. I'm going to say 29-12.
I love your numbers.
They're the best. Which is, well, I'll never hit it on the head. But I was thinking 28-14, but that's not unique enough. So 29-12, I think. I don't think the Vikings offense is going to be able to get much of anything going. If they do score any points, it's going to be fluke things like special teams, because they do still have some decent special team stuff going on. But
okay.
Yeah.
We're going to turn now to the other football going on in Wisconsin. We've got the Wisconsin Badgers who opened up and then opened up on Illinois this week.
Yeah.
Pulled away from them very quickly in this game. There was a brief moment of light if you were an Illini, the ILLINI. Mm-hmm. Then, mm-hmm. I mean, you felt something for a moment because you said, hey, it's 14-7, and we just had a big turnover touchdown, which was garbage because the one guy clearly grabbed the ball and pitched it backwards while on the ground. The play was over, and that annoyed me. But anyhow,
yes,
that was the only points they scored in the entire game, and they got just destroyed for the rest of that game. It was just nothing that Illinois could really do. Their defense actually played fairly decently well, considering they were behind. They were mostly just, it seemed like they were playing very downhill. They wanted to stop the run. They said, you know, look, this worked last year. We just spent all of our time trying to stop the run and it kept us in the game. And it didn't work this year because, I think, like I said earlier, without having that crutch saying we've got to make sure we use this once-in-a-lifetime talent, they said now the once-in-a-lifetime talent might be that quarterback. And they want to run, but they don't have to. And so they just, you know, laid the wood to Illinois in this game.
They did. I think this, are we going to call this the Aaron Flottam apology segment where I apologize for,
I'm in favor,
advocating for Jack Cohen.
We like Jack Cohen. Just,
I do.
You know, he's
I do
out too. For who knows how long. We're not sure.
And I wish he was back this week. Anyways.
Absolutely. But,
that Mertz kid's got some moxie to him, doesn't he?
And the thing that I loved about him, granted, we were all very excited by the idea of having Mertz come in. He's a, you know, 4-star. He was what, the 3rd-rated pro-style quarterback in this thing. And we were all like, it's going to be so great to see him. It's going to be wonderful. But the thing I noticed right away is he is so incredibly poised in the pocket. You can just see his confidence. There's no jitter to his movements. I mean, there were guys around him, and they were trying to bring heat on a couple different plays, and he got sacked a couple times. But there was no point during that game where he looked like he was hurrying a throw, where he was going to push something that he didn't know about because he was scared about getting hit. He was very confident in that pocket, and he had some really good touch. On the one touchdown, well, one of the 3 touchdowns that he threw to Ferguson, he put that ball high, where Ferguson was the only one to get to it. There was the corner behind him and the safety coming the other way. Put it high, put it out of play. The ball placement he had was so, so good. It was really just incredible to watch him play out there.
Hey, by the way, Ferguson, that's Elvis's grandson?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just heard that or yesterday.
Nephew, yeah. It's family. So I forget if it's grandson or if it's like his nephew or something like that.
Interesting. Sorry, yeah, no. Continue on.
If you follow Scary Alvarez on Twitter, he talks about him all the time. He said, like, yeah, look, if we don't have him playing, if we don't have merch, we're just going to put Ferguson out there. He can throw. Of course he can throw. He's the best player in the nation. Heisman Trophy candidate nominee. Come on.
So yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
My one major concern with this team right now is I think what I thought was borne out a little bit in that they definitely, while naming two starting running backs, Groshek from Amherst, who suck. Mm. They saw, I hate them. But anyhow, my high school hatred aside.
Amherst, you weren't going after Groshek. Okay, got it.
No, he's good. just happened to have come out of that mill of hatred. Amherst. Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad that he doesn't do Amherst things like try to break people's, you know, legs or, you know, kick somebody in the pile or something. I'm just, you know, good for him on that. Come at me, Amherst.
We had that with Bruce. Bruce was the team that did that to us. Anyways. Yeah.
I'm never going to forgive Amherst. And that's just dirty Rednecks. My prerogative. Yes. They're not as bad as Eau Claire Regis, but still.
The worst part is my mom is from Bruce.
but I mean, like, the big thing is Groshek played the better game, but they clearly wanted Nakia Watson to get the carries. He got more touches in this game, but he could not find any space. And part of it is,
were feeding him that ball, man. They wanted him to do something. You could tell.
They were trying to get him the ball and trying to get him there. He's got good power and good speed, but he doesn't have, you know, even my dad points out, he's like, he doesn't have the wiggle that Jonathan Taylor had. That little bit of ability to get just a slight movement and get outside. If he could have just made one cut a couple different times, he's got 20, 30 yard runs a couple times in that game. But instead, he did not have the big plays there that really should have made this, I guess, even worse of a game if you're an Illinois fan. But, yeah. He ends with 19 carries for 62 yards, which is 3.3 a carry. Groshek, especially since Groshek got the carries at the end of the game when, you know, after his quarterback lit it up and they'd been wearing down this team all game, because three different running backs got double-digit carries. Right. And it was good to see. Isaac Garendo looked pretty decent. Nothing big, but he had a couple decent runs. We didn't get that jet sweep to work all that well at all in this game. Just missed a couple reads out there, but Groshek, 70 yards, getting 5.4 a carry. So yeah, that was nice too, but still I want to see more out of this running game for Wisconsin. And you want to see something better than what they did here against Illinois in the running game.
It is kind of sad to see that now we have an arm talent that we've never seen here. Well, we saw for 1 year with Russ Wilson, you know.
Yeah.
And we have this guy who's probably going to be here only through the end of next year, because he's already redshirted 1 year. So he's probably going to be gone at the end of next year. And we don't have that running back for the first time in two decades. I mean, we've had, what was the run before this?
Monte Ball, Melvin Gordon.
Monte Ball was before Melvin Gordon.
James White. Well, yeah, they were all there together for a period of time, too.
Right. And then, it's just... Yeah.
So many just, you know, good running backs.
It'd be nice. I mean, is there like a true freshman that we have or something like that that we don't...
Yes.
That we haven't heard?
Jalen Berger. Okay. In terms of rating scheme, is the highest rated running back ever recruited by the University of Wisconsin.
Okay, but I'm guessing he's redshirted this year, right?
Most likely.
Technically, nobody has to redshirt this year at all, because everybody doesn't have to claim a year of eligibility this year, right?
I don't think that's right. I think if we're playing, then but if it counts. But if you don't, then it won't.
Why would you redshirt? Then just take it off.
No, I mean, like, if you play, that'll count like you played. If you don't play the season, then you redshirt it. Like, if your entire team took the season off.
Is he redshirted right now, though?
I think the plan is to redshirt him. I don't know if he'll stay that way. It'll depend on a lot of things.
I'm just saying, though, John, like, come on, pick up on what I'm saying. If you're going to redshirt somebody, don't actually redshirt them. Just have them take the year off and have it not count against their eligibility. But they can, yeah.
You want them to practice with your team, right, which is the, yeah, the biggest
and not
part.
Burn up your redshirt year and be a six-year player. Here's how you do it. Anyways, okay, so.
Yeah, the practice is the big thing.
But I mean, he's fresh meat freshman, right? Like just brand new running back.
Yes, yeah, he's just come in this year, so yeah, he's going to be a guy to look at down the road who's going to be a lot of fun to see. One of the other guys that I was very excited to see, I'm just trying to this moving through some of the people. I mean, we had good games for Noah Burks, Leo Chenal looked good, Isaiah Green-May, like we talked about. We talked about Nick Herbig was a guy who we kind of talked about. Like he didn't show up on the depth chart as one of the top four inside linebackers, but he got a little bit of playing time. He's a true freshman from Honolulu, and one of the guys they're very excited about, number 19. He's an inside linebacker. He's 6'2", 225, true freshman. Yep. He's not going to get a lot of playing time because the inside linebacking room is deep, but he's looked very good, and the team is very excited about what he's going to be in the future. So that's another guy to keep an eye on as the season goes on. But yeah, if you're going to look for that offensive talent, one of the running backs that's probably not going to end up showing up here, but would be interesting to see is Jalen Berger. He's number 8. He is a 6'2", 210 guy out of what state is he from, Aaron? He's a running back.
Let me guess. If I had to take one, Jersey.
He's from Newark. Yes,
Newark, okay. Jersey. Jersey is.
So
that, he's speaking of things that are strong. That pipeline is strong.
One or two good guys came out of New Jersey and went to Wisconsin.
Which ones weren't running from Jersey?
Because well, Melvin Gordon's from Racine, right?
He's from Racine, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, and James White is from Florida because he went to the Thomas Aquinas Academy.
Oh, got it. I see Taylor in those UW credit union commercials.
Oh, yeah, you were saying that last time.
Oh, God, I'm like, God, he's such a good human being on top of it. Like, he's just a quality human being and a great running back. Dane, was Dane the first one or was Moss the first one from New Jersey?
You know, I don't remember if Moss was. Dane was definitely from New Jersey. I don't remember if Moss was. The big news, of course, for everybody as we're running lower on time here is that we had one positive test that mattered, the only one that matters. Graham Mertz received a positive test, but now they are doing the more accurate test to determine whether or not he's confirmed to have COVID.
Do that in the first
place. That one apparently takes longer because we still don't have word back on that one. So we're still waiting. If he misses, or if he's got this, he has to miss 21 days.
Yeah, what is that?
And they have to do the EKGs because they also have to check on his heart to, because the Big Ten is very worried about the myocarditis. Yeah. And so they have to miss 21 days, and they have to go through the whole programming and everything there. So they have to go through all that. He definitely has to miss 3 weeks, though. So that would be, you know, Nebraska, Purdue, and then Michigan.
The first two don't worry me, but it's like, why 21 days? I don't understand that.
There was a good tweet that went out. I didn't read the full article on it, but they have specific reasons why they picked 21, and some of it had to do with the amount of testing they had to go through and also the heart programming that they did, because the Big Ten actually added more medical issues that they wanted cleared before you could go back to football because of the concerns they had with players' health that they had initially when they first started getting tests.
No, this season ain't going to come to an end. Holy smokes.
So we'll see.
There's going to be one team that won't be able to field a team at some point here.
Yeah, and then they just count that as canceled. They had those rules up for everybody. You have to play at least 6 games. One team can't play, it's canceled. You need to have both teams for it. So, yeah, we'll see. Nebraska looked like they've been the last 3 years now with Frost. And, you know, they were with the joke, of course, is, man, they were trying to sue the Big Ten to get them to play football. And then they got a schedule and looked at just Big Ten teams. And they're like, we don't want to sue for making us play football because we don't have to play these teams.
It's their own damn fault for leaving the Big 12 in the first place, I guess. So,
yeah, they could probably still compete in the Big 12 because that's not a very good conference right now from what it looks like. Yeah.
I mean, who would they play against? I mean, Iowa State ended up losing this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it's hard to predict what's going to happen with Nebraska. I mean, here's what's going to happen is if we don't have Graham Mertz, which will mean our top two quarterbacks are down, and we are down to, do you know? The answer is Chase Wolf, which is another great name.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I heard his name about 40 times on the radio today, but I can't remember. Yeah, he's a redshirt sophomore. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, he's ahead of one of my favorite Badger names, which is Danny Vandenboom.
Yes, I saw. It's hard to miss his name on the sidelines when he's walking
around.
Such a
great name.
Where's that kid from?
Vandenboom? I'm not sure. Chase Wolf is a kid out of Cincinnati. He was a three-star quarterback coming out of high school. He's an okay guy. He's been there since his third year, obviously, with the program. He knows the program. I think people feel against Nebraska, he'll be good enough. And one of the reasons why is you saw the defense that came out this last week.
He's from Kimberly, by the way.
Oh, Vandenboom?
That Vandenboom is. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good Wisconsin name right there.
Yeah.
I was like, which little Dutch enclave is he from? Yeah, there you go. Cumberland.
Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Yeah. And then, you know, the defense, though, this last week looked incredible. I don't see anything that Nebraska is going to be able to do that's going to score much of anything this next week. They've got a good running quarterback in Adrian Martinez, but they don't have the receiving help this year. Kenny Bell left last year. They lost Divina Zigbo. They've lost a lot of there. And I don't think that in watching that game against, I mean, Ohio State's got a good defense too, but there's nobody on that team that really scared you. They do have a McCaffrey, one of the McCaffreys, and he looked okay. He's a quarterback, kind of like the kid that's at Michigan or whatever, but he's a running quarterback, of course, and they play him at running back as well because they don't have a running back right now that's like a real Nebraska running back. You know, they don't have one of those guys at this point. Amon Green, Divina Zigbo, any of those types of players. They don't have somebody like that that's really...
Like McCaffrey, like one of Christian McCaffrey's kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's another one?
Well, Christian McCaffrey's brothers, Ed McCaffrey's kids.
Ed McCaffrey's kids.
Yeah, yes, there are four brothers. It's like Luke and Max and Christian, and I'm forgetting one, but whatever. Max is the one who played
for the Packers. They got some work to catch up to the Watts. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, they're not... Only one of them,
even the Diggs. The Diggs brothers are pretty good too.
Yeah, and the other McCaffreys haven't been necessarily that good yet. Nowhere near approaching their brother.
Christian, the Cooper Mannings.
Yeah. Well, Cooper, yeah,
had a medical condition. Sorry, I know that. That was a shot. Yeah. I take that back.
Anyhow,
he was a wide receiver, anyways, before that ever happened. But yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the thing. It's like it's going to be interesting to see this play out. I think for the next 2 weeks it'll be fine because I think the defense is so good. I mean, they shut down Nematar Bebe, who is going to be one of the better receivers they'll see in a while. Until Purdue, where they'll see Rondell Moore, who is great, and he's going to be really good in the next level too. But Wild Goose looked significantly up to the task, and you know, Fabian Hicks and all of them are also very, very good. I think the defense keeps him in the next 2 weeks, and my hope is again that we have our quarterback back, or that Chase Wolf, you know, is comfortable enough that by the time he faces Michigan, he's, you know, able to do something against that defense. I was not horribly impressed with the Michigan defense. We'll get to that later. We'll see more of Michigan between now and then too. But I mean, that's a gutted Gophers team that they were playing against. Gophers lost 7 starters on that defense from last year, and they are not particularly good this year. So we'll see. They beat Nebraska.
It's not a good gauge for telling how good Michigan really is. So, I mean, but it's still, if you go out and spank another D1 team that's ranked that hard, Michigan's going to be tough. So
they definitely are. And we'll have to see. The hope is, of course, that it comes back that Graham Mertz doesn't have COVID, but we'll look and see. Cross our fingers, and we'll get to that in the next couple weeks as we start talking about that. But I think they beat Nebraska, but I'm not picking a score because I don't even know who the quarterback will be at this point. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Thank you, everybody, again, for joining us for another wonderful week. This is a football-only type of week, and we appreciate you, whether you're in Wisconsin or just across the U.S. or across the world.
Hello, Belarus.
Yes, yes. Please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review this podcast. Remember to follow the show at Scani Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk on Twitter. And remember, whether you're on the town or on the go or safe at home on the couch, it is always on Wisconsin.
God, we get too chatty. We didn't even get to talk about Wisconsin alumni Rick Wagner.
This has been the Scani Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScaniJohnny1 or online at ScaniJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.